You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire. Welcome back to The Wire for Rāpere Thursday. Last month saw the release of an independent review examining the emergency management of Cyclone Gabrielle in Hawke's Bay last year. Insights revealed the key role marae, iwi and hapū played in disaster response, heralding calls for strategies more inclusive of te ao Māori. I spoke with Dr. Sean Awatere of Ngāti Porou, who is Kai Hautū Māori Research Impact Leader and Manaaki Whenua at Landcare Research. We discuss the ways in which national and local bureaucracies can be more formally inclusive of te ao Māori and mana whenua approaches. In previous comments, you've mentioned the messier and complex holistic and relational aspects of te ao Māori that play a key role in disaster management. Would you be able to elaborate on what those aspects are?
Sure. So generally, when looking at the issues of disaster risk reduction, in New Zealand we take more of a kind of a linear approach and looking at the ways of controlling our responses to disaster risk reduction. And it's often through a technocratic type of approach. And when we refer to a te ao Māori approach being a bit more holistic, it takes into account those social connections and the spiritual connections that people have with the environment, understanding that there's more of a longer-term connection and a greater connectivity between people, place, and the environment. So those social connections and those cultural, spiritual connections need to also have some place within the disaster risk reduction approach as well. Going a bit more beyond just taking a purely technocratic or engineering approach to addressing the issue.
And what might it look like to find an alignment between te ao Māori approaches and Western systems in the disaster management space?
I think a lot of the work that has been done in the past by Māori scholars has really been to identify where the opportunities are for Māori to participate politically within disaster risk reduction approaches. And what we see is that during a disaster response, Māori communities are generally active in being able to provide support and services for whānau. We saw that with Cyclone Gabrielle as the communities along the East Coast activated and collectively sought out solutions in order to independently address the impacts from the disasters like a cyclone, especially when they were cut off. And some of the challenges arose when there was the response to the Cyclone Gabrielle. And I think through a more of a collective approach and an approach that empowers local communities to draw upon their locally based solutions, using their own kind of innovation, you can get more improved outcomes to the disaster risk reduction and recovery. So I think it's really important to include those communities in the whole planning process for addressing hazards before they occur. So with the report that's just recently been done for the Hawke's Bay and the response to Cyclone Gabrielle, I think it's key in those recommendations that they have wayfinders or references to including iwi and hapū and mana whenua in terms of participating in both the planning of addressing disaster risk reduction as well as participation in addressing the issues with respect to disaster risk reduction. So protection, participation, and those types of issues I think are really important for mana whenua to be involved in disaster risk reduction.
And you've already touched on this a little bit, but do you have any more thoughts around what a productive and functional whanaunga and relationship might look like between mana whenua and bureaucracies like council in the lead up to any disaster situations before they occur?
Yeah, so definitely in terms of addressing those types of issues and creating resilient communities, I think partnership is really essential. So a command and control approach, which is typically a business as usual approach, is not the most productive approach to take to get a collective community effort that's going to result in outcomes that are going to be a benefit for all communities. So really important is to include local people and ensure that there's opportunities for them to participate in the development and the co-development of plans that are responsive to their needs and their aspirations. Because oftentimes we rely on technical experts to provide us with the way forward in terms of responding to disasters and recovery efforts around disasters. And sometimes while the technical experts can provide a starting point, there are some nuances that might potentially be missed if we take a one-size-fits-all approach. So it's really important to ensure that local people, because they understand the local ecology is probably better than anyone else, so they understand that there's a river that's susceptible to flooding or that the hillsides are susceptible to erosion during certain events and the inherent risk within the tile. Whereas a technical expert can only say on a broad scale that potentially that whole catchment is at risk from flooding. But whānau, hapū, iwi and local communities, through their intimate connections with the tile and that long-term connection and shared history with that area, understand that there's certain tohu or indicators that will provide signposts for impending risk or disaster. So having those nuances included within the planning process and ensuring that there's opportunities for whānau, hapū, iwi to participate as decision makers within disaster risk reduction processes and approaches is really important.
I also spoke with Professor Christine Kenny of Te Ātiawa Ki Kāpati, Ngāi Tahu and Ngāti Toanga Rangatira. Christine is the Chair of Disaster Risk Reduction at Massey University, and she provided us more insight about what the report's findings mean for Aotearoa's wider emergency management frameworks. What are the key takeaways from the independent review of the Hawke's Bay Civil Defence and Emergency Management Group response to Cyclone Gabrielle?
I think you need to consider this both from a local perspective and also from a national perspective. So former Commissioner Bush, who chaired the report, is quite clear that he thinks there needs to be a regional disaster reduction plan that's developed in partnership with local partners and communities. So this is about true inclusivity, including utilising local Indigenous knowledge and Māori approaches to land and water management. And he's looked at his suggestions under four headings: reduction, response, recovery and resilience. Oh, and readiness, actually, 5 R's. It's usually known as the 4 R's, but in terms of how he's approaching those under reduction, he would like to see that approach happen locally, developing, implementing and communicating a regional disaster reduction plan. And he wants to see risk operations put into place as part of that. So better river management, better stock bank panning and maintenance, management of forestry byproducts. The other big thing that he put in around reduction was that there was a big push for central government to move to a principles-based overhaul of the current SEDIM system in New Zealand, including change legislation and systems and structures that better reflect and respond to the, he calls it a current threatscape, I would call it a cascading hazardscape, because we've got multiple hazards that are constantly interacting in this country, and we're seeing an increase in the level of catastrophic events in response to climate change. I find it an interesting comment because there is a bill before Parliament at present. It's an emergency management bill. It's had its first reading in the House, and that bill goes some way to address a number of his recommendations about inclusivity and the engagement of Māori and how actors need to be siloing in terms of their communication approaches and working more collaboratively in response to preparing for responding to and recovering from earthquakes. As I said, it's had its first reading, it's in select committee, and I guess we will wait and see.
You mentioned the 2023 Emergency Management Bill awaiting its second reading. How likely do you think that this bill is to be taken on by today's government, especially considering how the piece of legislation does echo sentiments that have been brought up repetitively in disaster management review?
Well, it went off to select committee with an overwhelming vote of support, and the dissenters to that bill were unanimously from National and ACT, I believe. I was in the House, actually, when they voted on the bill. And obviously the previous government's Ministerial Committee on Emergency Management, some involvement with providing advice on the writing of the bill. And that was based on evidence and the previous reports. I think there will be significant pushback from the current government. I think that pushback will be in the form of everybody has a part to play and no group should be singled out for particular recognition. Māori have been given a particular recognition in this bill. There will maybe those that will see that as separatist. The perspective I take as an expert in this field is that where you have a group that has over $70 billion of human, material and economic assets that they will collaboratively and collectively bring to bear and have in the past to support New Zealand in disaster context, it makes absolute sense to have them at the table in a formalised way. And I noticed that former Commissioner Bush's report absolutely endorses this as well. The other component I would make is that this does not preclude community engagement, and the bill recognises that, and I think it's really important that every part of the community has a part to play. One of the issues, though, has been that while I note from the report that communication across civic leaders and regional managers with a formal role to play in the infrastructure response to Cyclone Gabriel was good, or as I think Mike Bush has put it, as good as any they've seen, the other layers that connect into communities at the operational level was not so good. And in fact, you had members of the community, including local Māori, coming and providing useful and essential situational awareness knowledge that was dismissed effectively. This is not new. Communication difficulties across and coordinating communication across all sectors of the community is globally an issue in disasters.
You mentioned the themes in Aotearoa's disaster reviews mirroring global issues and lack of communication and coordination, but are there any existing functional community models that we can learn from, ones that support delegation of decision-making and support action to Indigenous and community rōpū, whether that be international or in other sectors in Aotearoa?
There are. Well, about 5-6 years ago, as part of research funded by the Royal Society of New Zealand, I was involved with a group developing a Māori model national one, which has been picked up and variously adapted. I know that I work with Auckland Regional Council and they've taken the model and refined it, and that's rolled out in their area. There are community ones that are driven by hapū, and some are even marae-based. And the reason for that is they reflect the tikanga of that particular hapū or iwi. The Yukon First Nation Climate Change Strategy is a community-led model which started with several Yukon First Nation tribes and has been picked up and taken on by the entire province. And the Aboriginal Climate Change Strategy that a range of Aboriginal nations in Australia came together to develop and implement is a really good example of that. So there are a range. What I have observed here in New Zealand is that the majority of communities, particularly Māori communities, hapū, whānau, iwi, like to do things their own way. So, for example, the Ngāi Tahu Climate Change Strategy is an example of that. And then if you go down to the marae level, you will see each marae or each runanga, in fact, is developing their own plans. The interviewing that was done with local mana whenua they spoke about the resources, which were significant. What wasn't really addressed was the fact that they were intimately connected with iwi and hapu and Māori organisations up and down the country, who all responded very, very quickly. And this ability to respond nationally exceptionally quickly is something that is extremely beneficial in major, you know, national emergencies. We saw it post-Canterbury, the Canterbury earthquakes, and we saw it following the Kaikoura earthquakes, and we also have seen it post-Cyclone Gabriel. So while Māori are not the only group in the community, collectively, economically, and with material resources, they are probably the most adequately resourced to step in as a full partner. And I sincerely hope that the bill that's sitting within Select Committee, given this recent experience, there's some reconsideration of political viewpoints, but I'm sceptical.
That was Dr. Sean Awatere and Professor Christine Kenny on the role of te ao Māori and increased community involvement in Aotearoa's disaster management strategies.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.